Good morning. We are continuing our series on the radical teaching of Jesus. And today's message, are you rich? An old preacher was dying and he sent a message for his banker and his lawyer, both church members, to come to his home. When they arrived, they were ushered up to his bedroom. As they entered the room, the preacher held out his hands and motioned to them to sit on its other side by his bed. The preacher grasped their hands, smiled, and looked at the ceiling. For a time, no one was saying anything. Both the banker and the lawyer were touched and flattered that the preacher would ask them to be with him during his final moments. They were so puzzled. The preacher had never given them any indication that he liked both of them. They both remembered his many long, uncomfortable sermons about greed and covetousness. Finally, the banker said, "Why did you ask us to come?" The old preacher then said softly, "Jesus died with two thieves, and that's the way I want to go." We are so fortunate to live in the most affluent nation in the world. It's no wonder three of the richest people in the world live in America. The number one spot is currently held by Jeff Bezos, founder, CEO of Amazon, net worth $154 billion. Bill Gates of Microsoft, $95.4 billion. Warren Buffett, chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, a textile manufacturer, $86.3 billion. We may not be billionaires like them, but who knows? But Jesus' story of the rich man and our text of today that we'll be reading a little bit later, and this topic on riches, I believe will ring a bell to this land of opportunity and to all of us. At this time, please stand with me as we read our text in Luke chapter 12, 15 to 21. The sermon outline is right there in the middle of your church bulletin for those who are taking notes. Then he said to them, he, that is Jesus, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable: the ground of a rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry.'" Let's stop it right there while it is still good news. God bless you. You may be seated. Regardless of your financial status, this message can be a source of encouragement, inspiration, and motivation for us this morning, especially as we look at the story of the rich man. Follow me, letter A. What did he do right? I will not be surprised if the preaching you have heard about the rich man were mostly negative. Today, however, let's give the rich man some credit. He also did something right. There are some clues in the story to suggest that. A1, he worked hard for the money. The work ethic of the man is highly commendable. He worked hard to prosper and succeed in life, as seen from his words, thought, do, tear down, built, and so on. In today's world, the man really gave it a serious thought or planning on how to prosper and expand his business or career, and he took concrete actions. He went through the rigors of study, internship, apprenticeship, while others are just allowing time to pass them by. Remember, there were no modern equipments to do farming and demolish existing structures and build new ones. Plus, no computers, no cell phones. But he did it. He worked hard for the money, like American entrepreneurs and workers like you here in California. And according to the ABC News, May 1, 2018, Americans work longer hours than anyone in the industrialized world. The average work hours of British, Germans, French, Norwegians, and other countries in the European Union is 35 hours a week. Americans, 47 hours per week. Furthermore, according to U.S. Bureau of Statistics reported last year, over 25 million Americans, or 20% of total workforce, work an average of 49 hours per week. And 11 million of them work an average of 59 hours a week. Another thing he did right, A2, he knew what he wanted in life. Verse 18, the man said, "This is what I will do." He knew exactly what he wanted in life. He had a game plan on how to achieve it. He wanted to be a millionaire. Yes. He wanted to have a successful career and a good life like all of us. But he did not stop there. In A3, he got what he wanted in life. Verse 19, the ground of the rich man produced a good crop. Verse 20, his business boomed. He planned to expand. He did this, of course, as seen earlier, through wise planning of his life, clearly defined goals, plus hard work. Consequently, he succeeded. He had bountiful harvest. He got it made. He became a rich businessman or a successful professional, enjoying a promising career with lots of dough, bling bling, and toys. We congratulate the man. So far, so good. But something happened in the story. There was twist and turns as I invite you to follow me as we look at what happened next. B, where did he go wrong? He got it wrong when he focused on gold instead of God. Gold instead of God. We read in verse 16 to 18, based from this story of Jesus, his life's focus centered on his produce, crops, barns, bigger storage, more building, and goods. In one word, the man's focus was gold. It's so glaring to notice that there was no mention of God, not even once. No mention of Jesus, not a single time. I suspect that maybe when he is so stressed, he may possibly say the cursing word and I want to say it, but you know, this is a sacred place. It was all gold. Jesus used one strong word to describe the man, greed or covetousness. Verse 15, then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in all abundance of possessions. The Greek word for greed is pleonexia, in Spanish, condesia, in Vietnamese, tamlam, in Filipino, kasakiman, to make it more a little bit more poetic, swapang. Please don't say that to your neighbor. Greed means the thirst for having more. Always wanting to have some more, is still some more. The favorite soda of this man is Sprite. Obey your thirst. When John Rockefeller, the steel tycoon, the richest man in America during his time, was asked, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much money is enough?" Rockefeller said, "One more dollar." What went wrong about this man in our story? He focused on gold instead of God. Moreover, the man got it wrong when he acted like the real owner instead of a manager, 16 to 19. Look at the words that he used that describe his behavior and attitude about his so-called wealth, success, and blessing. I, me, my, mine. Altogether, these personal pronouns were used 11 times in this short story. He behaved and talked as if he was the real owner of his life, wealth, talents, resources, blessings, success. Again, no mention of God, no mention of Jesus, no mention of worship, no mention of church. It was all me, myself. Furthermore, he got it wrong when the man, B3, he devoted on what is passing instead of what is lasting. Passing, lasting. Folks, observe with me the preoccupation of this person's life and the nature of his riches. His world revolved around his crop, storage, construction of additional buildings, goods, food, drink, and pleasure. In today's lingo, his obsessions are greenback, career, the crib, promotion, and on weekends, wine, women, and song, I add one, toys. This preoccupation on the passing is further reinforced by Frank Sinatra, who popularized the song, "And now, the end is near. I did it. You had your way, so I'll have mine again." Do you know what happened during Frank Sinatra's funeral? Look what he brought with him at his funeral. A bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey, a pack of Camel cigarettes, a Hippo lighter, according to contemporary news accounts. What is the common denominator of the person's wealth and emphasis in the story, in our text, and in the items Frank Sinatra brought to him in his casket? All of these are passing. You cannot take them with you in the afterlife. They are all passing. Because the man just focused on the gold instead of God, passing instead of lasting, acting like their owner instead of a manager in B4, consequently, he had a tragic ending. He died. He died rich, but poor and a fool. Verse 20, "But God said to him, 'You fool!'" I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing to this guy. That's why I was very careful. I pointed there. The very night your life will be demanded from you, then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. Question, how can the man in the story die rich, but poor and a fool? His marital wealth is easy to explain. Lands, grains, goods, storage, in today's expression, real estate, stocks, job, career, savings. That's what happened to this man, the American dream. Because all that he tried to accumulate, it was all passing, that he cannot take with him beyond the grave. This explains why there are four types of people, and this is very comforting to hear. Four types of people when it comes to riches and poverty. First, those who are poor materially but rich spiritually. Amen. Second, those who are rich materially but poor spiritually. Third, those who are poor materially and also poor spiritually. Ah! But there is hope. Lastly, those who are rich materially and also rich spiritually. Congratulations. Lastly, let us see what is Jesus really trying to say in the story. See one, that he is not against wealth and success as such. Verse 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." Please observe with me. Jesus did not rebuke the man for being wealthy. He did not scold him for being prosperous and successful. Why? Because Jesus is not against riches, success, and the American dream. He's not against. In fact, there are wealthy people in the Bible, like Abraham. King David, Job, the richest man in the East, the Bible says. Common denominator of these three persons, all of them were super rich and yet devoted follower and worshiper of Jehovah God in the Old Testament. Making this a little bit closer home, I'll mention names and the companies that they represent. Dan Cathy, owner of Chick-fil-A. Don't go there today, it's closed. David Green, Hobby Lobby. I saw a lot of you when my wife and I came there. Colonel Harlan Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken. If that is the case, what is Jesus really against in this context of riches in the story of the rich man? Answer, he is against greed or covetousness. We see that in verse 15. It says, then he, Jesus, said to them, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Verse 15, it starts with a warning. Watch out. In Greek, it is in present imperative, with the sense of keep looking out. Don't forget the definition of greed, a thirst for more and more. This reminds me of a famous Russian writer story that he wrote. Leo Tolstoy wrote once a story about a successful peasant farmer who was not satisfied with his land. He wanted more of everything. One day he received a Nobel offer for 1,000 rubles, Russian money. He could buy all the land, he could walk around in a day. The only catch in the deal was that he had to be back at his starting point by sundown. Early the next morning, he started out walking as fast as he can. By midday, he was very tired, but he kept going, covering more and more ground. Well, in the afternoon, he realized that his greed had taken him far from the starting point. He quickened his pace, and as the sun began to sink low in the sky, he began to run, knowing that if he did not make it back by sundown, the opportunity to become an even bigger landowner will be lost. As the sun began to sink below the horizon, he came within sight of the finish line. Gasping for breath, heart pounding, he called upon every bit of strength left in his body and staggered across the finish line just before the sun disappeared. Immediately collapsed. Blood streamed from his mouth. In a few minutes, he was dead. Afterwards, his servants dug a grave. It was not much over 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. The title of Tolstoy's story, How Much Land Does a Man Need? Yes, warning is in order then and now, especially as gas managers in prosperous America. Furthermore, Jesus is saying to us today, see too, he wants us to acknowledge and honor him, the real owner of it all. The successful and rich man in the story failed to recognize and honor God, who is the real owner of everything. He credited himself and his ingenuity alone for his wealth and accomplishments, as seen in the four personal pronouns that he used. Help me to recite them: I, me, my, and mine. Mentioned earlier, in contrast, wealthy King David knew who the real boss when he said in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it and the people in it. As a result of this realization, King David honored God through his faithful attendance in worship in the temple of God, ministry participation as worship leader, harpist, and composer of psalms. He also honored God through his offering of animal sacrifices to be used for the glory of God in the temple, but not this greedy man. Earlier in their history, God, through Moses, reminded his covenant people of their sacred duty as managers of God's people, gifts, talents, and resources, including one's life and eternal souls, with this solemn warning and reminder. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, it is the Lord who gives you the power to be wealthy. The Lord gives you the power or the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. Lastly, Jesus is saying to us today that C3, he wants us to not only have riches, but above all, true riches. Please watch my play of words. Riches over true riches. 20, but God said to them, you fool! This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? 21, this is the heart of the text. This is how it will be with whoever store up things for themselves, but not rich toward God. I would like you to listen carefully to what Jesus is really saying, what he wants to drive home to us this morning. In verse 21, Jesus said, this is what will happen to a person who only accumulate riches, but not true riches in him. Two categories of people when it comes to riches in the context of our message this morning. Category one are people who are rich for themselves. Case in point, your friend, the man. In our text, the riches he acquired is for himself. I, me, my, mine. Don't get closer to him. Your riches you will even get and possess it. Category number two are people who are rich toward God. In the original language, the preposition toward God carries the sense of direction and purpose. Scholars stressed. Hence, the words of Jesus carries a lot of weight when he said, store up riches toward God. So the question of Jesus today is, are we going to live life for self or toward God? Where does your life revolve? What is your life's focus and purpose? Are you building riches toward God as evidence in your value and priority? Jesus further intensified the conversation on riches by highlighting two natures of riches, which are riches and true riches. Let's look at them closely. In verse 21 again, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, that is riches, but is not rich toward God through riches. The man was not rebuked by Jesus for being wealthy. He was scolded for devoting his life and energy solely and purely for building riches, not through riches. What is the difference between riches and true riches in the context of our message this morning? Riches are material things. Earthly pursuits, though nothing wrong with them, but they don't last. All of them are passing instead of lasting. In contrast, true riches is lasting, permanent, and eternal. That is why Jesus wants his followers to possess and preserve true riches and make the pursuit of true riches our first priority in life. This then prepares us for eternity, our true riches in Christ Jesus. That is Jesus' point in this story. So then, what is true riches? Our true riches is in Christ, as comprised, among others, rich with the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor, so that through his poverty, we can become rich. Grace, in this verse, refers to God's favor of forgiveness, which he bestowed to an undeserving sinner. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, now am found. Was blind, now I see. Rich with the unending love, unending life, rather. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the eternal life that Christ gives to everyone who put their trust in him as their Savior and their Lord. Then, rich with the blessed hope, Titus 2:13 in King James Version, but looking to the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great and Savior Jesus Christ, who died and gave himself as a ransom for many. This is our blessed hope, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, to take us to be with him when the time comes. Even my microphone is ruptured. Furthermore, rich in the happiest place, our home in heaven. I'll want to give you a virtual tour. Just introductory. Revelation 21, 3, 4, 21. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, pain, and crying. For the old order of things has passed away. For you who likes jewelries, 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. Hear this. The great street of the city was gold, as pure, as transparent, as glass. And in this life, rich in Christ's presence, peace, providential care. That's why Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And then in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And after my life here on earth, these are ending. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Which include all the things that we have done for Christ, all the things that we have done for the kingdom of God, all our ministry, our sacrifices, our giving, our love for God and his people. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Yes, our true riches is Christ, his saving grace, Christ, his eternal life, Christ, our blessed hope, Christ, our eternal home with him when we see him face to face. It's Christ, our true riches in this life and for eternity. Patrick Henry, the famous American statesman, served as governor of Virginia, who became famous for his saying, give me liberty or give me death. Hours before he died, he gave his last will and testament. And I quote, I have now disposed my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is the faith in Jesus Christ. if they had that and I had not given to them a single dollar, they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them to them all the world, be poor indeed. A story is told about a very rich man who invited George Truett, a prominent pastor in his time, to have a lunch with this wealthy man in Texas. After the sumptuous meal, the rich man invited Pastor Truett to his family room. The rich man opened the window and pointed to the vast fields. And the rich man said, "See that vast fields? My oil fields." Again, the rich man invited the pastor to their family room, opened the window again, and then said to the pastor, "See those vast orchard? All of those fruit-bearing trees are mine." Finally, their wealthy man invited the pastor up there in the deck, and he did this, "See all those cattle in the field that are almost difficult to count? All are mine." Pastor Truett touched the man's shoulder on his left hand and then asked him a question and said, "How about there?" He pointed to the sky. "Are you rich there?" The rich man bowed down and said, "I did not think about that." "Are you rich?" Better yet, the question this morning is, what kind of riches do you have? Lasting or passing? Riches or true riches? Let us pray.